the minutes. So we'll just have you sign them next time.
Okay, that's fine.
Good everybody, huh?
I think so.
Matt?
Is it Matt who left?
Yeah, Matt said he would be able to join this time, and then he would be resigning.
Okay.
So maybe he changed his mind, is not able to make it.
Oh, is that Leo that's on there? Hey, Leo. Leo, if you can hear us, you're muted. Both of you are muted.
He's on pause.
There is not anything to vote on except the minutes, and with, let's see, looks like Matt is the only one at this point. We'll have a few minutes.
Do we have a quorum without him?
You do, so you can start the meeting. It's okay. Just for Steve. He can vote, but if you wanted to go ahead and start the meeting.
Okay.
And then, since no other action items,
we can just move straight into discussion. Okay.
Is the additional names for the veterans' wall, is that an action item?
That's an action item.
Oh, yeah. Yes, you're right. Sorry.
Yeah, so we can.
Yeah. Yes. So if Matt Reese doesn't come in, then Steve, you can vote on the action item for the wall.
Yeah.
So we'll go ahead and give him more time. But you can start the meeting now.
Okay.
And do the minutes.
All right, Happy New Year, everybody. We'll go ahead and start this January 13th, 2021 meeting of the McKinney Armed Services Memorial Board. So welcome, everybody. I'm glad we have, just as to review since we're recording, we have President Colin Kimball, Matt Harris, Steve Rebo, and I'm sorry, you're going to have to help me, folks. Whitney Nash and
Christopher
Kuhn present, and we have Leo Griffin.
And Elizabeth
Robbins via teleconference. And is there one more? No, it's just Leo twice. Okay, good. So we have a quorum, and Matthew Reese may attend. Okay, so the minutes will sign the minutes from the last meeting will address and sign on the next meeting. So agenda or discussion items was to discuss.
Okay. You can vote on it, you just don't have it to sign.
Ah, okay.
I have a copy, I'll get you next time.
So the meeting minutes from the October 14th, 2020 meeting minutes are included. Vote to accept the meeting minutes.
I motion we accept the minutes from our last meeting.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Motion approved. Next on the agenda item is the discuss the Veterans Day ceremony for 2020. I think we'll do first is just review the meeting. I think there was a question from the board member to understand really the after action. I will explain, at least in my experience, Colin, we always discuss it, you know, what went well, what are the opportunities to improve it, capture either, you know, hopefully for a chance to either gain greater attendance, greater participation, a more, you know, dignified solemn ceremony. So really this is a discussion, so, you know, I'm happy to, you know, hear the good and the bad. My personal impression was, you know, I thought it went very well, especially, you know, we normally don't read the names like that, and so that's a little bit longer of a ceremony. We missed some of the other traditional items in the ceremony. I thought that was a fitting, appropriate thing to do given the conditions we had. And it finished, you know, literally to the bell or to the McKinney sound. So I spoke to several members of the community after at the park, and the feedback I received personally was pleased and you know, positive feedback. I didn't hear anybody give me anything critical, not that they would, but I didn't hear it nonetheless. So that's my take on the event. I'm happy to go around and make sure we get a full view.
I was impressed with the honor that you had there, you know, of the inductee on the wall.
Mm-hmm.
I thought that was pretty impressive.
Yeah, that I think that was meaningful for him, even though he didn't want to be a name reader. So,
yeah.
And kudos to Flora and Ryan for helping us track him down.
Yeah.
I think that it was, you're doing it at a time where I think people have a little more patience for things like this. We all understand the mask is different, and so I think that everyone who came to the event was understanding, you know, that it wasn't what it was in the past. It was going to be a little bit different, and I think you did a very good job with what we had to work with.
For those of y'all that haven't participated before, it was really scaled back from what we normally do. That name reading ceremony is something we usually do the evening of Veterans Day proper at sundown. We start when the sun's on the horizon, finish when it's done. But, you know, doing it once to minimize exposure is why we did it on at our ceremony. I'm pleased. I mean, we did the best we could do, and
yeah,
we had a lot to improve. But it's not that we have to improve. I think the situation will improve, and it will help us improve.
I had the honor of meeting the lost soldier's father before the ceremony. I didn't know who he was or the whole story until halfway through, and I picked up some cues, and then I did some research later, and thought kind of moving for me. My one slightly negative comment is that reminder that weapons of war used by our adversaries have no knowledge of the voting patterns of the U.S. warfighter. What's the same shrapnel doesn't discriminate. It doesn't matter if you're Republican or Democrat or how you voted. And so I think in the future, my suggestion would be that we take the small step of when we invite a speaker to speak or give an invocation, that we remind them of that. That warfighters come from all walks of life and, you know, political backgrounds.
Yeah, I you know, whether it was the outcome was different than the intent. I will tell you, the board has actively discouraged any political communication because it's simply not the place for that type of. You know, and you're right. This is probably a good reminder as we invite guests that the people honor the veterans and reinforce that versus any politics. And I don't remember the comment to be specific, so, or to be clear, but the point, anybody that felt that way, we want to avoid it. You know, we look for the commemoration of the veterans and honor them and also the names on the wall. So
it was a Trump mask.
Okay.
Well, that was an attendee. That wasn't anybody that was part of.
There was someone speaking at the podium wore the Trump mask.
Was it a reader or was it a?
It was one of the name readers. It was the niece. Oh, wait a minute. There was a body. I saw.
So the invited guest was Rick. I'm sorry, Dr. Frazier. He spoke. Without,
you
didn't have a Trump mask, right? But you saw someone get up and read names with
a
Trump mask?
I thought it was the person delivering the invocation, but maybe not.
Okay, so that would be to be
a. It wasn't wearing, it probably lowered. Yeah, maybe it wasn't wearing colors. Maybe I'll.
That was Ron Price.
I don't recall his mask.
Yeah, I don't remember either. Yeah.
I don't remember either, but the general consensus, if I can speak for the veteran community, is that it's the politicians that send our brothers to war and our brothers die because the politicians sent them there. So if you really look at the Vietnam War in particular, the politicians were manipulating that whole war and lots of people paid the price for their decisions. So politics is,
yeah,
is verboten. We have a lot, and during election years, we have a lot of politicians that are running for office wanting to come up, and we do our best. The only exception that we make is we always invite the mayor. And it's not political, it's courtesy. So.
It's a good point. And we've had Representative Taylor speak, and I think he, you know, while a politician, he's also a veteran, and I recall he was his
And with that, Sam Johnson.
Speech was good. So yeah, I think the point, your point is valid. We, and probably for us to remind our invited speakers that we, how we focus, not just the invite. Because when I invited Ron, you know, I didn't set guidelines. Nothing was happening.
Wearing a Trump mask, I didn't really remember that. I remember somebody wearing a Biden mask, and I kind of had the same feeling that you had, but that was a person in the audience.
The audience member with the green helmet on her lap.
And she was there to honor her her uncle, whose name we just added.
So. She read names as well, didn't she?
What's that?
She read names, yeah. And I think that's something that, that you may just have, you know, you set guidelines and kind of say these things. You're not going to be able to maybe stop someone who was against those guidelines at the moment, you know, or how you handled it. But I think, yeah, having a neutral policy is the best policy.
Yeah, that's a good point.
So hopefully we won't be wearing masks next year.
Who knows?
But T-shirts. We'll make sure we.
I was overjoyed at the time, but the mask compliance was pretty good. So yeah, that wasn't possible. So.
Other comments, suggestions? You know, I truly hope we get to return to the ceremony in the way that's been conducted over prior years, where, you know, the community's invested because we have the school choir, McKinney School Choir. We have. You know, not just the honor guard. We have other components that are
valuable. Yeah.
So we'll get there. I think we did, you know, honestly, a great job. We had some cancellations the day before, 2 days before. So, you know, I think, largely speaking, I think it came off as well as we could, and I think the results spoke for themselves. So, good. And we'll work to make this next year just as good.
Well, hopefully Memorial Day will be an opportunity to put some of these things into practice. Maybe we can get back on track.
Yeah. Okay. So I think that covers the discussion of the Veterans Day. So we do have one item. One item is to consider additional names for the Veterans Memorial Wall. So Colin, are they?
Yeah, if you don't mind, let me give everybody a background. So those names on the wall are people that were actively serving in the military who died. And so doesn't necessarily mean they went to war or died in war. They were just on active duty, or they died as a direct result of their wounds. We have a few people that, as a result of the wounds they received, came home and then died later. But at any rate, that being said, we're always, myself, my wife, and R.D. Foster primarily, he's the one that found these, are always looking for new names. And through some of his research, primarily going through old newspapers, he's discovered these three names. So the second criteria is they died in active duty. We have to have two sources of information to verify that they died on active duty and that they had a provenance from Collin County. So they were either born here or they were living here when they enlisted. And so that being said, this first one we have here is Tech Sergeant Kenneth Chumley, and he was serving in the United States Air Force, was involved in a traffic accident down near Waco, and he was from Frisco. Now, I'm going to just raise a little bit of a red flag and say we have that piece of information, which speaks to his service, and well, I don't know that Find a Grave would be a second source. So I'm going to recommend that we go back and get some additional information on him before we...
So the first source is the article.
Right.
Which we generally rely on as truth to support, you know, a citation. And the second is, in this case, is just the Find a Grave, or what is it noting? His place of birth?
Just his tombstone. that he was in the service and the date of his death. And his, so I'm thinking that it might be prudent. And I apologize. RD found these actually a while back, and I think the same thing's going to be held. So the second person we have is William Lee Lindley. He was 19 years old. He was from Melissa, and he again died. He drowned while serving the United States Navy in Charleston, I guess in the Charleston Harbor. But the once again, I guess I'm only seeing six. Well, we got two newspaper articles. We got the 6 September newspaper article, 6 September 1928 from McKinney Courier, and then we have the 13 September the following week. One that speaks to his death, the second one speaks to his funeral. So I guess we have two pieces of information on him. The third one is Master Sergeant Raymond Knott from Farmersville, and he was a flight engineer. Took off from Dover Air Force Base in a C-133, and I guess they flew into a storm and did not come out the other end of it. So we have a McKinney Courier Gazette article from the 23rd of September of 1963. And we have information, genealogical details. I believe these are from, I don't know if this is from Find a Grave. Lebanon Daily News from Pennsylvania, and I'm trying to see the sort. Trying to actually find the actual source of this other one, but there's quite a lot more extensive information on this. Actually, it actually speaks to the actual detail of the incident, but. So we have three names of people. All of them had a provenance. We've got Frisco, Melissa, and Farmersville. All were on active duty and all perished as a result of their service while they were on active duty. Raymond Knott is still missing in action. I guess the others were recovered. But so anyways, those are the three names.
Which one that you want additional information?
I think I'd like to probably table Chumley's votes until I can get a second piece of information. I can quickly do that by going to Ancestry and find that. My wife is a master at that.
You're wanting to find his residence at the time of death.
Well, I just want to find a second source that shows that he was from Collin County. And so we can pull him up on the, I'm sure we can find his name on the census records. I just don't think Find a Grave is a source, because it doesn't speak to anything Collin County related. The only thing it speaks to is a picture of his headstone that shows that he was in the Air Force. But that doesn't show that he was in the Air Force when he died. As a veteran, you put your ranch on there, but, you know, I don't mean to be too getting down too deep into the weeds, but I just was just thinking, we don't really have two good sources for him.
We can vote on William Lee Lindley and Master Sergeant Raymond T. Knott.
Yeah, so Lindley, we have, you know, two newspaper articles. And then got a couple of newspaper articles from on Knott as well.
On Lindley, you got some good confirming that his service was at a church locally, you know.
Yeah.
So that gives a lot of confirmation there.
All of the churches in Denton County.
Well, that's probably because he was from Frisco, and that kind of straddles the line.
Melissa Baptist Church.
Not on Menlo yet. Melissa.
Yeah, it's Melissa Baptist Church.
Yeah, it's Chumley that was. He was buried over in Midland. Which actually, come to think of it, Frisco again straddles the line.
You may not know where they were born.
We need to find out what side of Frisco he was on. And if he was, it said he was born near Frisco. Right. So I think we need to do a little more work on him.
Okay.
Chumley.
You're speaking of Chumley.
Chumley, correct. Okay, yeah.
So you're okay for so far, Lindley and Knott.
So Lindley and Knott are the two that I'm comfortable with moving forward on.
Okay.
So any more discussion? Is there questions? We've established the service, and we've established either his birth in Collin County or his residence at time of enlistment or joining the armed forces. Those are really the criteria. That we've got more than one source for each. Is that right, Paul?
Right.
Okay.
This source number one on Chumley does have the headline saying he's a Collin native. So that would support them. If you trust that headline, like that.
Yeah.
It says it right there.
For some reason, if you go through the archives, Vietnam, and you look up people that were killed in Vietnam that were associated with Collin County, they list quite a few names of people from Richardson. Now, there's a part of Richardson that is in Collin County, but in the 1960s, that was all farmland. And I got really excited when I first found those because it was a list of about a dozen or more guys. Thinking, wow, I just found all these guys, and it turns out every one of them, the government got it wrong. Yeah, they were from Richardson, but they should have been Dallas County. So
were they listed as both maybe?
What's that?
Were they listed as both maybe? Listed under Dallas County as well?
No, they attributed them to
the
government archives attributed them to being from Collin County. But actually, I was able to get some addresses, and you know, I moved here in 2002, so I'm not aware of the growth. And I pulled the address up, and you know, the house was clearly in the Dallas County part of Richardson, which is the majority of Richardson. So I just think I'd spend a little more time looking at Chumley. Just measure twice, cut once. We got time.
Okay. All right, so we have a motion to vote on William Lindley for adding his name to the board or to the
voting
to the
list. Lindley and
Knott? Yeah, I can we do it together.
I think you make a motion to vote for those two.
Yeah, so we have a motion.
I'll put a motion that we consider that we add Master Sergeant Raymond Knott, United States Air Force, and Tech Sergeant William Lee Lindley, United States Air Force, to the wall.
Do we have a second? Second. All in favor?
Mm-hmm.
Aye. I don't know if you cut. I couldn't. I saw a hand raise, but I don't know if I heard from Leo.
I hear Leo.
Okay.
Well, Leo's up there.
So they both.
Can't see you, but we got three little icons for you.
Okay.
So I will. So if we can add it to the agenda next month to discuss Chumley.
Okay.
Chumley.
Okay, the last item is generally citizen comments. We have no citizens joining us today. So we'll go to board commissioner comments. So I'll have one. So next meeting, which will be in February, is when we'll really probably start our planning for the Memorial Day ceremony. So we'll start with that timeline, the activities, general agenda. Well, we'll review what our ceremony has consisted of in the past, probably consider a more COVID-based ceremony again this time. I will say in 2020, we did not conduct a ceremony. We did the virtual, we read the names of the wall. We did it all. We recorded the ceremony and put it on YouTube. So we did not have a ceremony for Memorial Day. You know, I think we'll cover what our intentions are. We'll be a month away from now to see what how things are looking before we make any comments about our decision.
Is there typically a flyby also for Memorial
Day? No. So we could, not that we compete, but we there are other organizations that have Memorial Day ceremonies as well. And our again, it's the Veterans Board or the Veterans Memorial. So we don't, while we think it's important to have a ceremony, it really is focused around Veterans Day with our just you know, budget support. Mm-hmm. So
the memorial at Pecan Grove Cemetery has
been the major city.
Yeah, it's been many years of that ceremony. So I think the board's idea in the beginning was not to compete with that event, and then we kind of took Veterans Day as the time to honor.
Yeah, and they do. They either have a helicopter. They've done helicopters and other flyovers. It's just there's other you know, organizations that have a large focus that day. So, but we do have a ceremony, and I think it's been, you know, in the past it's been very well attended, and I think you know, we're going to continue that in order, you know, attempt to continue it to you know grow and continue the outreach. And I think the next meeting will probably be part of our discussion as well. How do we, you know, engage the community in a way that you know. As I said, you know, I ask people, and they're not always aware. In fact, more often they don't know about our memorial, the park, or the day, or the ceremony. And you know, I think our goal is to act on that in a more definitive way going forward, either through outreach or other ideas that we develop. But I can tell you, if we don't do it, it won't happen. I know that. We've been here, you a long time, and me for a few years, and it won't, you know, the engagement won't happen unless we make it happen. So we've got to decide what level of engagement and how we do it to see what success we get.
One of the things that we said in October was that we would use one of our meetings to discuss some potential outreach and raising activities. But I think as we begin planning for the Memorial Day ceremony, you know, this might be a good opportunity to start looking at how we can raise awareness for that activity as well as 2021's Veterans Day.
Yeah.
We have a lot of channels and a lot of opportunities to do that. A lot of stuff the city already has, but I think we can leverage to raise more awareness for this organization and the things that are going on here. So if we could put that on the agenda for one of our upcoming meetings, I think we could just kind of brainstorm, based on everybody's experience, some of the things that we think we can do.
Yeah, I agree. Well,
I think that's what we are.
Great. So let me ask this. So other agenda items, generally we look for agenda items, you know, and Flora will send out a request to everybody before the upcoming meeting for items. And, while we're together, the conversation probably is a little more engaging for us to add items. So I agree, the outreach, we'll start our Memorial Day service. There was a question I think someone had about our budget, how we do that. I'm not prepared today, but maybe we add that as an agenda item for the next meeting. We'll review what the budget is, how it's funded, where it comes from, and how it's spent.
And I was curious, is there any luck with the social media?
The access to the Facebook?
No, I'm the only one that has access to it. I'm not the administrator.
You're just like a page manager.
We don't know who the heck that.
I think for Facebook pages, there's just moderators, and if you can add a moderator, I think maybe even if you fell off, that other moderator would still continue. But I'm not sure. That makes sense. So maybe good to add a moderator or something.
He shared his page, and we walked through it. He doesn't have editing rights. He's not able to add.
I could put content on it. We can't.
You can't.
It's funny. We have a page with some friends from college, and no activity for a long time. Someone took it over. So I don't know how that even works. And if you know the guy who does first response photography, someone took his page over. It took him a long time to try to get it back. So it's funny that people take over pages and we can't get legitimate control over.
Well, we don't know who started ours. It was prior to me.
Have you reached out to Facebook? It might be something, and if they need almost city approval or whatever, we can do to say, you know, this is a page that's dedicated to a memorial owned by the city of McKinney. Maybe there's something we can do to try to get.
Yeah, I think that's probably what we'll have to do.
Even if they tell us a name. I mean, because that name is probably a former board member that we could probably contact and never help us out.
I'm two devices away from losing my Facebook. I can't remember my password, and my password's linked to an email address that I no longer have access to.
That hurts. Okay. Other items? Other comments?
I had something for the board. I'd like to introduce Marty, who is our new parks maintenance.
Oh, that's a big one.
He is the new Tim.
Cool.
Treat him nice. I thought Marty just give you a little brief background on himself. So
I was here only less than a week, and I came to the Veterans Memorial. I was there briefly, but my crew put all the stuff together. It was good to see that they had things under control before I got there. I'm coming down here from, I lived in Texas for a while, went to Texas A&M University, graduated in landscape architecture from there. Since moved up, I worked for the university as well as the urban forester and the grounds operations manager for a while. Got an opportunity to move up to Reno, Nevada. Was there for the last 7 years as the assistant director for grounds and maintenance for the University of Nevada, Reno. And now I'm moving into Parks and Recreation, which has been a really great move. Bring my family back down here to Texas again, where we want to be, and start raising the kids here. And here I am, and have a good time.
Welcome.
We're glad to have you. And they do a great job. I mean, the city of McKinney, without the city, we would not be able to have this memorial, and the support is fantastic. So again, it was a huge, great effort by your team that sets it up, and then the city to fund it and support our efforts as a board.
I know at least one of our staff members that was there that day, he's a veteran himself. In fact, he was wearing his USS Wasp hat, and I go, my dad was on the USS Wasp. So I got a picture of my dad, got a kick out of seeing that.
Yeah, so, awesome. Yeah, it's great support. It's a great community, and this is one of the ways it comes out. So
I do have a question for you, Ryan. Mm-hmm. Do we have any idea from guidance from the city looking out towards May as to where we're going to be in this
COVID? I can't say any formal declaration of what the city has announced or said. I will say that as a city right now, we're gearing up for Byron Nelson, which is in May. Which is May 10th through 16th. So, you know, the idea that event is still flexible, but the idea is that we're pushing for that event. So as far as having something out there, I think that's going to be a no-brainer that will be allowed. At what level, I'm not sure yet. It would either be the base, the level we had previously in November, or slightly more relaxed, or way more relaxed. So we won't know until we get closer to that. We had a planning meeting for the Byron Nelson this past Friday, and the idea at the time was flexible. In fact, I looked on Byron Nelson's website, and they kind of have tickets out there, but it's a little, they're still hesitant on what they're doing, because they said on a good day, on Friday, and this might have been back when they were in Irving at the Four Seasons, not when they moved to Dallas, 50,000 people in a day attended the Byron Nelson. So their attendance when they moved to Dallas was like 148,000 over the days. And over the 4 days, and that was low compared to what it had been when it was in the Four Seasons. So there is a demand to come to an event like that, so the city is looking at all aspects of it, which helps us for all other events. The city is still moving forward with a slightly or
heavily modified arts in bloom in April, so I don't see us having an issue hosting the event and doing something. It's just what capacity is still to be determined.
Whether we scale it back, like,
and it hopefully, you know, things start to change over the next couple of months. I'm really hoping they do.
Ryan, on the Byron Nelson, I don't know who reached. I had an email from the city about organizations that they were, you know, outreach to community organizations, and somebody, I don't think it was you, Flora, it was somebody else from the city. What?
Is it McKinney Cares?
No. The lady that has, it's the secretary.
Empress
Dane.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
She was reaching out to organizations, but I haven't heard anything since, and I'm not surprised because of COVID. But she did reach out to me for the board.
Was it for Flora Byron Nelson?
Mm-hmm.
Was it for...
I think they were looking for organizations that, you know, it wasn't specific, at least I don't recall. I'll find the email now, but it was collaboration with organizations. One of them, of course.
I'll reach out to Empress and see what she can provide with that. You know, Empress actually worked in our department for a number of years.
Okay.
From the city secretary's office, so it would be no problem.
And that might be exactly the kind of cross-pollination that we would find helpful. You know, if they need volunteers, and we could volunteer and have access to an audience to somehow, you know, tell people about the memorial or, you know, provide them with information while they're there, maybe suggest they go on a visit while they're in town, things like that would be great opportunities for us to not only help out other parts of the city and the activities that they put on, but also to get more people
to wear more different. You know, I do have a tangential comment, but the golf course on the east side of town, I think that was actually designed by Byron Nelson.
No. It was a 9-hole course.
It was for the VA. It was built.
It was, but I have not heard that Byron Nelson...
Let me talk to RD, but I think...
Now, Byron may have been involved with McKinney Country Club. My sister-in-law's family were friends with Byron Nelson. My sister-in-law's father, Dudley Weissong, was a professional golfer himself. And they were family friends with Byron Nelson, and he had been out, I know, to McKinney Country Club many, many times, but that was an old nine-hole course. The 9-hole course that was Ocala, we didn't expand that to 18 holes till like 1998, something like that. But I had not heard that he had designed that.
I heard that he was involved because they built it as a rehabilitation for the veterans that were.
He could have had some involvement. That's possible.
And he was involved in the building.
But I would have to research to find out if he designed it or anything. But at that time,
design might be, but he was involved. Let me see if I can get RD. But if we could nail that down, it would be a nice little thing to expand upon.
Certainly would be. Yeah, and I don't know all the players on the tour that would be attending the event. I don't know if there would be a veteran among any of them. That would also be nice to find or single out.
Yeah, I could see some great ideas if there was some way we could incorporate our memorial into something. I mean, we're literally on the property of Craig Ranch, so it would be an easy walk to come over and take, you know, something to help promote and support their mission, but ours as well.
Yeah, and it could be, you know, I don't know what avenues we have when it comes to the broadcast of the tournament. As you know, and I don't watch golf as much as I watch football, but they'll take shots around town kind of thing.
It'd be nice to get some.
Even when a Cowboy game is in Arlington, as it has been for, you know, a number of years now, it was in Irving, they're showing pictures of Dallas and stuff. So I imagine some of that's probably still going to happen, but maybe an option for them to, we can say, hey, take some B-roll footage of a Veterans Memorial, we'll turn the water on, whatever, just kind of get it on there.
Yeah. Okay, good.
I was curious too, and I think you guys mentioned it last time, but I forget, for... promoting the Memorial Day and the Veterans Day events, what is done as far as like publications and like press releases and things like that beyond the Facebook page?
Really, the
is there
kidding.
Anything like that?
This time it was different. We were under the gun to get things done quickly, and it didn't happen. So this time it was just the city page, city website, city social media. Before, I don't think you've paid for any advertisement. So it's usually just done through social media.
I didn't know if it was local.
We did put out flyers in the past, though.
Yeah, so you hand out flyers.
And put, you know, bulletin boards and whatnot.
But is that something that local papers would put?
Sure.
Because, like, you know, an event coming up and McKinneyOnline.com does all kinds of stuff.
Steve, I remember you mentioned something about a connection.
The Saturday paper. Yeah. Everybody gets it for free. And I read it. It'd be a great opportunity. I'm sure they did it for you.
Yeah.
We've had a flyer for the Veterans Memorial, Veterans Day ceremony in our rec guide for as long as I can remember. And those, we used to mail those to all residents. We actually haven't in the last few years. We even stopped printing them this last couple of runs because of the COVID pandemic. And we've gone to an online format, but it was still in that online format. So it's seen by, you know, thousands of people that are looking for events and are registering for activities. And we'll continue to do that as well. We put posters in our kiosk in our park for those. We don't have a lot of those right now. We have a kiosk two kiosks at Bonnie Wing, one at Al Rushoff and one at Town Lake. And we've had a poster inside those.
Good. I think there's some brainstorming, but we'll do a little more formal and capture some actions and some owners for our next meeting.
If anything does require a budget, it's just an agenda item with a vote. So if you find something like a complaint line, if they do charge for the Courier Gazette, whatever, you want to use that, it would just be find out how much it is and then a vote.
Okay. Well, any other comments before we close? Do we have a motion to adjourn?
I motion to adjourn.
Do we need to sign?
No. Do you have a second?
I'll second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Thank you, everybody. Thanks for coming. Thanks for joining. Let's hope we get this back to a non-mask, normal meeting at some point for all of us.
Matt has taken
I'm going to end the Zoom. Is that okay?
Yeah, I think we're done. Thank you, everybody. Bye.
Bye-bye.
Goodbye.
Is that legal?
Matt is moving to Little Rock, Arkansas. And so I thought he was going to be here tonight.
Yeah.
He could be.
He couldn't make it after all.
So.
I just started February biking to make to Rock Rock Town Lake bike trail. Beautiful.
Did he hurt his eyes? He got COVID.
You can go
I haven't talked to him. We saw him at the event. Remember, he was at your
that's why
portrait dedication.
Yeah.
That was a.